When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other two, season three, episodes 1 through 5, are over, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. My name is Grace, but of course I'm not alone. I'm here with my other one. It's Dr. Amanda. Amanda, how you doing?
Well, I was once an extra on Smallville, and I dated Topher Grace for a couple weeks, so hopefully you can see me now.
I can see you now. Good. All the podcast listeners should be able to see
you. Yes. Oh, they can see me. I've appeared in the room. I was here the whole time. I'm great. We did our the other two preview pod a few weeks ago, Grace, and then we've been texting sporadically like, wow, this is a really good season. We should talk about it again.
This show was maybe written for you, Amanda, I think. There's a whole, the last episode is all about White Lotus, and it's amazing. Lucas Gage.
There's a comically large number of Survivor references and other references to things I hold dear. Like, I mentioned this at one point that I feel like this show is like if one of my friends made a television show out of all of our inside jokes in a group chat or something, it would be very, very close to this show. It's so much fun. I think that this might be like my favorite season yet. I'm excited to talk about it. And Grace, we have a wonderful guest here. And so I would love to play our game, age, net worth, foot, feet, Gabby Pascuzzi. Welcome to the pod.
Speaking of Survivor references.
Wow. Thank you so much. I will not be showing my feet on this podcast.
Hey, age, net worth, then.
Very little as a grad student, which Dr. Amanda would know plenty about. So, currently,
not me, I'm rich.
Nearly zero. Yeah, I know. You're always rubbing it in our faces. You're always
extra
bragging.
School, you know?
Yeah.
Gabby, you're here to talk about the other two. I didn't even know you were a fan. Dr. Amanda found
I saw you tweet about it, and I thank was like God. Delighted.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank God I sent that one tweet about it, because I have watched it since the first season. I mean, obviously, I didn't just come on here to talk about 5 random episodes of a show I don't watch.
Well, they did talk about Survivor. You were like, I guess I should come on.
Yeah, part. I just watched that part. No, but I watched it I started watching during the peak of the pandemic, and how I looked forward to every season after that, and like it was I was so excited for this new season. But it's funny that you say, Amanda, that you said like it's a show made out of you and your closest friends' inside jokes, because hand to heart, I was texting with a friend and he made that same comment. He was like, isn't this a show written for us and our 15 closest friends? And I was like, yes, it's a show that was somebody crawled into my brain and like they are as funny and witty and everything as I would ever like dream to aspire to be. And all of the references feel like it's like this is just for you 15 people out there.
Yeah.
But somehow there's more of us.
Somehow there's more of us. It's amazing because I had that thought and I tweeted it and I was like, I feel like I'm having this experience and thinking it's a really personal experience, but it's not. Like, I feel, because I noticed, Gabby, like, I think Grace and I, when we started talking about the other two, my, like, biggest connection to the other two is being, like, a longtime devotee to Ken Marino and loving everything that he does. And discovering this show and feeling a little bit like it was a secret and nobody else knew about this show. And then when season 3 came out, I noticed, like, little flickers on my Twitter timeline. I'm like, oh, maybe a lot of people are watching the show. That's great. And I feel like the writing is so brilliantly funny. on the show. And again, we have to shout out all of the wonderful television writers that bring us the content that we love and we obsess over and provides us with so much joy. And we support them in the WGA strike right now. But the jokes are like so specific and so, I think, just spot on in terms of pop culture and fame culture and celebrity culture and social media that like they're saying things that you thought you just had that idea, but they are having the idea like a split second before you have the idea. And it's so funny. And I think that that's probably why that's maybe a more universal experience than we had assumed, that people are seeing this show and thinking like, these are my inside jokes. This is what I think is so funny.
Yeah, I think that I do feel like potentially, I do feel like Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider, Chris Kelly is, the two of them are writing almost every episode, I think, other than two this season. Allison Silverman wrote Carrie Becomes Somewhat of a Name, episode three, and Julie Nassim, I don't know if I'm saying that right, I do apologize, is doing the one that's the episode that comes next, episode six. But for the most part, I mean, they're SNL writers, and I do feel like there is this, like, they are so tapped into at least a specific type of, like, pop culture and culture in general that probably the three of us as like Twitter users and what like are very tapped into, is I think because I literally like was searching the other two and there's like the same joke is like, I can't believe the show is written for me. But then that's about it's about him asking Lucas Gage to give up the role because he got a sex scene in The White Lotus. It's like, well, we also all watch The White Lotus, you know. But I do still feel like they're so tapped into culture and pop culture and like how weird that world is, and then also just some of the like silly stuff that happens in our lives. I think in episode one, I was rewatching today as much as I could, that scene where like Carrie just can't remember his password, and then he says at the end of it, it's like, oh, it's the first one I tried with an exclamation mark. Like that, like now I feel like we can all be hacked, because aren't we all doing that, of like your password needs a special character, so we all just put an exclamation mark like at the end. Don't we all do that?
That's insane. Yes, Grace, nobody does that.
Definitely. I mean,
don't say any of the like, don't say what your like childhood dog's name or right. your mother's maiden name, because definitely those aren't my passwords with an exclamation mark at the end. But I just feel like it's so tapped in, I think, in a way that I don't think a lot of other shows are. It does feel really timely, which is interesting, like whether or not, like, is this a show that like only people who are watching at the moment, like if in 15 years are younger people gonna be like, this is so bad, I don't like, you know, I don't know, I don't think that's true. But I also think it's like very tapped into the moment.
Yeah, I don't think it's true. It makes me think of, I mean, very different brand, but like, I didn't watch it when it was coming out, but Gilmore Girls was kind of infamous for that. Like, it just was filled with pop culture references. And even when I watch it now, either I don't get the references, but it's still like, you get the essence of what they're saying. And I was wondering the same question as you, Grace, where I was like, is this too inside jokey? Or is it like, even I think the tweet that I sent out was the joke about like, well, and you watched The Circle, like it, like that it like had gotten so bad that Brooke was so bored that she had watched The Circle. And I was like, there is another layer to why this is so funny for us people who are like obsessed with reality TV and seen every reality TV show. And like, but I think it's also funny to the outsider as like, oh, that like silly Netflix show. And so I think that's what's so cool about it, is there's truly layers to the enjoyment, where it's like, I think even if you didn't get the pop culture reference, you know vaguely like the type of people that they are, what they're referencing, so it's still funny. But then it gives you that special feeling when it is something that you know so specifically, like Survivor or The Circle or White Lotus, that you are tapped into, that you're like, oh, but they could have made a generic joke, but they made it so specific. But probably to the people that don't know the specifics, the generic joke still like lands.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that it's like, you know, and one of the things that I think makes this show great is that it's not just references for references' sake. It's not just like, ooh, I recognize that. I also think the show is like really, really smart about tapping in to what is frivolous and shallow and like, you know, silly. And, you know, like these, it's actually, you know, I think a pretty biting satire in a lot of ways of the culture. Like, you know, I'm thinking from the first five episodes of season three, like when Brooke decides that she's going to go and do good now. And she basically updates her Instagram profile to say Black Lives Matter and put her pronouns in. It's like, I think that it's really, really clever in sort of capturing something. So it's not just references for references' sake. And like specificity is always something that like makes a funny joke, like a hilarious joke in my mind. But it's also using those tools to good effect to make like broader messages. And sometimes comedies don't hold up that well, like they actually often don't, and that's okay. This is what we need right now. It's the moment, and I think we can just enjoy it for what it is.
An extension of that doing good, the whole Jimmy Fallon, who plays Cameron, who Impact Group, all of that is some of the funny, and all the language that Cameron uses throughout the whole process, from when they are using all of the buzzwords, and as someone who does work in a nonprofit, like it can feel a little ish, like when you're in a brainstorming meeting, like when they're writing on the walls, to then when he's like, no, I'm overworked, like I'm like, and the whole, all of that, like the quiet quitting call, like some of that stuff is like so funny to the moment, just capturing. So it's just something about society at the moment that is so funny. It's so good. Yeah,
it so says something about society.
Yeah,
it's so society.
Should
it's the culture. It's not porn. It's a piece of culture.
All right, should we chat? Maybe we'll chat through some of the individual characters, because I actually think, I mean, one thing you said before we started was like, the show secretly has heart. And actually, I think it feels like maybe even more so than previous seasons, that there's a lot of through lines between the stories of these characters. So Carrie, essentially in the first five episodes, he's coming off the Night Nurse premiere and is desperate to watch it. He actually doesn't want to watch it. He would like for people to watch it so he can watch them watching it. And so we go through that, and then sort of him trying to use Night Nurse to propel himself. At the end of season two, he decides not to go on the family vacation that Pat so desperately needs. She's so tired because he wants to, he's got this gig. He has this role. And so he's basically trying to launch it. He also ends up in a relationship with a man who is constantly in character. And then he also has the stint where he does get something based off his name. He's going to be on Emily Overruled, and his stint there, he's going to teach them the art of acting, essentially. I've really enjoyed Carrie thus far, of like trying to figure out, he's like, now he's more successful than he's ever been, but he's also not that successful, I guess.
Yeah, like this show, I mean, Carrie has always kind of been like trying to break in and sort of never quite making it. And I feel like this, you know, his arc so far this season is like, he's gotten into that first layer, like that thing that he always thought that he wanted, you know, and now he's there and he's still like scrapping and like not feeling like it's enough and not quite established. Like some of the funny things he does is like, he's trying to ride the publicity from Night Nurse, and he takes it a little bit too far, to the point where like his mom even tells him that he has to stop posting on Instagram about it. He goes to the fake publicist. It's really like a mental health counseling center.
I actually don't believe this, but should at some point, like all the people who have just been on Survivor, like, do we need to essentially, now that the show is finished and they're like doing Cameo and everything, we need to like get them a Pat who's like, you could tone it back a little bit. I don't believe it. So soak in your 50 minutes of fame. But
no, I felt seen in that, where I was like, listen, we all hashtag Survivor. And yeah, I mean, there's a certain point of it that's fun, but I was like, ooh, this hits close to home, where you're like, let me stretch this out for as long as
that 1 month anniversary post that you got fired up and ready to go. Yeah, that was so funny. And the way that he eventually gets caught is they like sort of entrap him with like this blackmail thing where he thinks he's doing a Calvin Klein ad.
He's doing a Calvin Klein ad. And also, what else? There's something else he does. I can't remember.
It's like a James Dean, like,
oh, tribute. James Dean. Reshoots. Yeah, James Dean reshoots.
I love that is the most humiliating thing, that it's like, and you really thought, and you really sunk this low, and that's the, because he looks amazing in the shoots, and it's like, no, but this is blackmail, really, because it's, watching Carrie's spiral has been so fun, and seeing like what lengths he's willing to go to for that fame that he does believe is important, and we see that with the relationship as well. So it's been very fun. fun to watch, and I'm curious about like if the other shoe's gonna drop.
Yeah,
there's a great line when he's being blackmailed because he thinks that he's doing the photo shoots with, they're gonna Photoshop in Jacob Elordi and Sadie Sink, and he's like, "Am I not one of Hollywood's next future stars?" And they say, "You're 33. You're 33.
Hollywood's next gen. Yeah. He's 33. Yeah, but Gabby, this is actually maybe a brilliant idea. We should start one of these fake publicity companies for former reality TV stars, and do it to get them into therapy, so that they don't overly post and they don't try to draw out their moment of fame. Do you think that that's a good service? That
yes, mm-hmm. like an in- sorry, my cat, an intervention of sorts. Mm-hmm. That's like, listen, it was really cool what you did. It's all right to start letting it go. Not right away. Listen, I love when it's like, you know, right after the show, and they're like, we're all best friends.
Yeah,
but oh yeah, it gets dragged on quite a while.
But honestly, I
wish I got my bank from Cameo. No, I'm just going to say.
Yeah. I think you could. Maybe you still could.
Was Cameo not? What is, you just didn't do it?
Oh, no. It says like it was kind of newer, and they reached out to me and they were like, Gabby, do you want to do
you
it?
Thought it was
your
a scam.
Castmates are. No, I like thought I was too cool for it. Like, I was like, this is embarrassing. No. But now I look back on it and I was like, that would have been the easiest, like $30 per minute that I would have ever made.
So we need both. It's like some people we need to like get them more involved in promoting themselves, and then other people, like, it's about finding, it's a Goldilocks principle. Yeah, like so many things. Yeah,
I'm actually all team like make as much money and prolong your Twitter presence as long as you actually want. 44,
do all it. Side hustles. Go. Yeah,
you're a carry. You're a carry.
I do love, there is that like a Pat is, we'll get the Pat storyline, but there is nothing sweeter than just her consistently proving that she's just the sweetest mom. Cause I think that there's a world, I think we've talked about this, Amanda, where when you get the present, like the pitch of the show, that Chase Dreams is going to be this huge celebrity, but also these other two kids who are like, you know, in the entertainment industry or entertainment adjacent, you must think that the parent that's there is going to be like a nightmare, like from some of these, like, what was that? Like Toddlers and Tiaras, like these moms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you immediately are like, and like sports coaching parents.
Right.
And she's just not, she's just like the sweetest lady. And so like when he's like, I need $100,000, she's like, yeah, sweetie, I can give you $100,000. Like, you just have to stop posting on social media, but like, I love you, you're great, like you're the best. It's so sweet. She's so proud of her children.
Yeah, she's so proud of all of her children. It's the best. I loved back in season two when she would like FaceTime them on her show. Like, she's just so wholesome, and even like seeing all the riches and things that she has now, but she's like, I don't even know where anything is. It's just like,
no, you like loved her mom. For it. It couldn't happen to a better person. Like, you have your guacamole floor, girl. You have your home theater. Enjoy it.
I do love the way that this show can mix between, again, like having such a heart of gold where it's like such a sweet conversation, to being like surrealist funny and being like, this is a commentary on the world and it's very funny. And then realist. And then like the episode where Carrie gets the gig on Emily Overruled, which I think is that is so brilliant. The idea of like Emily Overruled at every 5 minutes, the judge is saying like, Emily Overruled, is like exactly what that show should be. But when it's black and white, and slowly he's like bringing color, and then like when he has to pick, like, I normally don't love Ridiculous. Like, my hot take, Amanda, of Succession was like, I didn't like the towel and the bird scene, and I'm like, it's too much. But there's a way in which this show does too much, which is when he paints a woman like to be
black and white,
like
grayscale.
It's so funny. Yeah, so well, that she won't
they
stand out.
It's all these things that would be so cheesy if it was meant like extremely earnestly with like the heart of gold. Like, I stopped watching Ted Lasso. I did. Stopped watching it. It was a little too earnest. Wow. I love that it still has a heart. It is satirical and it is biting. It still has heart, but it goes together because they're being earnest, but they're not being cheesy about it. And so when they play up the cheese factor, like, it's so funny, like the paint slowly painting her in grayscale, like the visual of it was like so funny.
Yeah, I love the absurdist stuff in comedy, like especially when it's done well. And I like, I do feel like this season of the other two has pushed it further, which I think is really fun. So in addition to like the black and white set of Emily Overruled, where like I love like the pitch is just you just stand on your mark, you say your lines, and we're out by five. Did you hear we're out by five? Always out by five.
When they hazmat suit the water away, is so fun. We're like, we should probably just take the water away so that he doesn't like make a choice, you know?
Yeah. But they all come alive with the magic of acting by the end because Carrie teaches them. But another fun, like surrealist element in one of Brooke's storylines is when she's not in the industry anymore and she goes to Ellen's party and no one can see her and she just desperately wants to hear the gossip about DaBaby. So she does like the steaming shower and writes it on with her
what
finger.
What did DaBaby do?
I think the show uses that stuff to really, really good effect. While we're with Carrie's storyline, I do want to get to like how the show came back from COVID, because I feel like comedies have lots of shows have tried to either incorporate or ignore COVID to different degrees. I really thought that this show did this very well by like making it this important plot point for both Carrie and Drew. For both Carrie and Brooke. But then also like I just thought it was very funny to think that like his movie was the one that had the most COVID delays of any film.
The woman who was on COVID and is like, we've had a positive like runs in and he can't sit next to his coworker to have lunch. Like he had to social distance. There was a lot of, there's a lot of really funny like the commentary on what COVID was like, even if like none of us have been on a movie. I don't know if either of you have been on a movie set. I have not, but like, that it still felt relatable that's like a bit what it like the tenseness of COVID when we were like in the most strict restrictions was very funny.
Yeah. And even like Streeter finding that other family on TikTok.
Oh, yes.
Two, the families, but also the bees, which the I believe bees, our friend Troy was bees. Like, I know what that's referencing. Like, again, to the point of like the show being for specific people. Yeah. He's like, I know Bee Lady from TikTok. Like, that's so funny. And that they live in the giant house with Pat and Streeter.
It's like, what is culture now? Is it like this dancing family and this bee? Like, this is culture? Like, can I make money off of this?
Oh, well, actually, there's a moment where Streeter is being he presents them before Carrie's premiere and he says, so like what part of culture do you think that they are like are they like TV or what are they like it's so funny
because what do you think they fit into what else do they and she just sort of tumble rolls in the front
so the four in the back they dance. The ones in the front, she just tumble rolls.
She's so funny. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like the fame is so fleeting and it's just so so spot on to sense the desperation off of Streeter trying to like glom on to anything that has an ounce of potential. But really, where do those families end up? They end up on like talk shows, or it's just like it speaks to also the ephemeral nature of TikTok fame or whatever, where it's like, is Bee Lady famous? Like it's like we watch her TikToks, but I've never like given her money. Like I don't know how she's benefit. All I've done is like hear about Bee Lady, seen her videos, seen the backlash to the Bee Lady, and then seen the backlash to the backlash to the Bee Lady. Shout out Phoebe.
Is Bee Lady the lady who removes like hornets' nests from like houses, or is there another? Because that's the TikTok that I fell into, which is she like will go to a house that clearly has like a hive, and then
yeah,
she'll,
it's
like,
bees though, it's not wasps, but yeah, they're bees, and then it's another day of saving the bees, and then there was beekeeper drama. I see. This is the thing. I know the bees, and I know like if Brooke would have been like, there's a lot of beekeeper drama, I would have been like, I know all about it.
Speaking of things that like fit in culture, I took out to like. I mean, I'm sorry, Grace. I know we're going out of order.
No,
my brain is going out of order. So Pat has her network. It's like Pat or P or
P,
whatever.
I believe it's called.
P.
Yeah,
it's
P.
Called P.
Like O. It's like O, but P.
With P. And like some of the shows that are on Pat's network.
Oh, I didn't see
are
these.
Drape Disasters with Maria Menounos. And then Bath Towel Takeover with Melissa Raj.
Oh, what's the one that they pitched to her right at the end? And she's like, that's good because everyone will know what it's about.
Yeah, it's a show with a woman named Allison Schechter. She has 8 kids and she is so, so nice. And it's called Allison Schechter. She has 8 kids and she is so, so nice.
That's great because everyone will know what it's about. Yeah. Can I? Yeah, I know where we have to, but I went to recently, my mom is a, in Canada, there's a show called the Marilyn Dennis Show, and it is basically the Pat Dubeck Show, basically. And my mom has wanted to go, and Marilyn Dennis has announced that her the run of her show is ending. So we applied for tickets, and I went with my mom. We got tickets to the Marilyn Dennis Show. We actually got to film 2 days, so we got 2 days of giveaways. It was the best. But there was like a person there who I felt like could have been on the other two, who was like the backstage. He like was the hype man for all of middle-aged women who were at the show. So he had all jokes that like worked for them, and would, and I just felt like I basically got to see the Pat Dubeck Show. So I'm so happy.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
What were your giveaways?
I got, this is wild. I got a Kobo, like the book reader. I got like $200 like face lotion.
Whoa.
I got a hair curl, like a curler straightener thing, and a new vacuum cleaner, which I did. We did have to figure out how to get my home to my mom, who was not from the city. So yeah, 2 days worth of giveaways. It was a good day. Good days.
Oh, that's great.
Can't afford not to go to a live.
You gotta
taping.
Go to the Marilyn Dennis Show. Yeah. Although it is ending. It is ending. Oh. I want to jump back to Carrie. Just there's two bits that I want. So first of all, before we get into his boyfriend, who I can't remember his name.
Lucas
Lambert Moy, which is a great actor and boyfriend actor name. Before we get into him, I do want to talk, there is another sweet moment with, and I feel like, again, the way the show is talking about culture, and specifically for me, I think like this probably comes from Chris Kelly, but Carrie and Curtis, I really love their relationship.
Love Curtis.
So Curtis, not only like just like being part, and like when he talks about like Grindr, and he's like, you know, like I was with him and he didn't like, he wasn't into it.
Yeah.
And then I was with him and I wasn't into it. And then I was with him and we both weren't into it, but they're all friends. But when Curtis gets the role that's Courtney, which was supposed to be the girlfriend, like the girl who was a friend.
It was a girl. It was a part for a girl, but they changed it to a gay guy, and they did. But it works. They didn't have to rewrite a thing.
None of the pronouns get swapped. Nothing when they're doing the table read.
It's PMSing. It's
it's so funny. But I did love the conversation where they're talking about where Curtis is like, you know, I didn't get it because I'm a better actor than you. I have like. I'm feminine, more feminine than you. And so that's why they gave it to me. And he's like, and that's problematic, but also, yay, I got the role. And I just loved that conversation. And I thought it was really interesting that they, again, like the show, the characters are relatable and you do empathize with them, but also every once in a while you're like, oh, they're not the best people. So when Carrie starts repeating the lines that Curtis has been saying about why Curtis got the line, and it's like, it's those things that like Curtis is allowed to say, but Carrie's not allowed to say. And I just thought it was like really interesting, and that's like about like basically like you can put that on a lot of different like you know things that you could say if you're trans, but and then like trans people can't say I just thought it was like really smart writing and was really interesting and compelling. And again, like, you know, there are more queer shows, but like this is a very queer show, so I just love that show.
One thing I love about it in general is like I feel like they respect the audience's intelligence, and I feel like that's such a big part of what you just said, Grace, where it's like we get why it's funny, because we get that certain things, different things coming from different people, suddenly take on different meanings. And oh my god, I just think it's really, really clever.
Well, there's a joke where Brooke, when they're being chased by the cops, she drops the F word, and Peter's like, "You can't say that." He's like, "I know, it was a test. They love that word."
Yeah. It's what the cop says. I don't think you're supposed to say that. And she's like, "Well, that was a test, because if you were a cop, you would love that, word."
That's so funny. Okay, so let's talk about his boyfriend, because there's a big part as we're like hitting, and especially the last episode, episode 5, which is where Carrie and Brooke go to an AIDS.
Oh my god!
She keeps getting cast in roles where they can't have sex, and it's very much annoying Carrie. This is such a funny, long-standing bit that they keep doing, and then this whole idea that Carrie is trying to get Lucas Gage to quit the like porn movie role that he got, because this will be one where Lucas will be able to have tons of sex, is so funny.
It's like
so
a
funny.
Small role where he plays like a gay porn star that just loves to F, and he like desperately needs his boyfriend to get this role. So funny. And like the pretense that they're at this play, that even though it's like incredibly boring, like nobody's allowed to leave because it's about eight gay men with
AIDS. Critique it even at the play. like, yeah, the usher.
Oh my
yeah.
God, the usher is like, and is that too long? Like, and how long would you be willing to stay? And everyone being too scared. So they have to
like,
stay.
No, it's so important.
I loved that.
But they bring really pillows and blankets every consecutive night because it's a like a multi-part play. That's
it
so
goes
funny.
Back to like 1776 and then like the dawn of man discovering fire. Further.
And they don't, the act ends and they still don't know that it's eggs.
The first yeah. one, yeah, the first one being like January 8, like 1981 or whatever, and just like that never changing, and then being like, oh my God, they're never gonna find. Yeah.
So these are the like, different reasons that Lucas can't yeah. have sex yes. in character. Like, first, he's a gay teen who's not out. No, first, he's a gay teen, so he's not having sex.
He's in a Love, Simon, Love, Victor type show where yes. he's not out to his parents.
He's not out to his parents.
But they're going to throw him a big parade.
And then he's in a Christmas movie, a gay Christmas movie where he's closeted and they have to eat a whole ham every night.
My favorite line read from the Christmas, the Hallmark movie stuff is there's a, where Carrie is talking about that he's not a big enough name to get roles and he gets that, but also he thought this would get him. And he goes, that's okay, honey. I'll get you some eggnog.
and then the last role is in the eight gay men with AIDS play, and he won't have sex because the doctors don't know what it is yet.
but he knows that it's AIDS. But Carrie's like, but your character doesn't know that.
Doesn't know.
You could have wear he's protection, like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he's there's like, fully... I'm on prep. It's like there's modern day solutions to this.
Shout out to Drew Tarver, who fully ends an episode. I believe it's with the Hallmark movie yes. one, where he's just fully naked with his butt exposed
yeah,
on bed.
Yeah.
But his partner can't because their parents would over.
Her parents in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. So, the way that they meet is all just very, very funny. Like when he's like so deranged that he has to go to Brooklyn Burrito to get his publicity oh, yeah. so he can rank all the burritos in Brooklyn from 1 to 5 nurses. And like on the way, he's like, for first cute guy he runs into is like, hey, you're cute. Want to talk? And then the next guy is like, let's F. And then it's like this Lucas guy who's just like, hey, want to go to a carnival and look at the stars and maybe fall in love? And he's like, no, I have to rate burritos.
So funny. Too much so work good. To do. But then he meets him afterwards and they go to the car and they swim in the pool and it's very sweet. But while he was in Croatia, everybody auditioned for this role. Yeah. I love that. I think it's so funny. And all the Lucas Gage stuff is brilliant. Lucas Gage is Lucas the perfect Gage. Amount of like celebrity that he's like yeah. he's in the White Lotus, he's been in but like not this huge name, and also like the perfect fit that like Gary is trying to blackmail him into giving up the role.
And speaking of the moment, you know, Lucas Gage was the actor who I think it was his audition that it went is. Viral on YouTube mm-hmm. where he was auditioning from home and the director was talking about how it's so sad that he lives in this shitty apartment but he wasn't yeah. on mute, and there's like some funny Zoom audition stuff that happens in here too. But
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah. So Carrie is still, he's still like fighting some demons here, still really having trouble finding love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. Let's talk about, is this love Brooke and Lance? I don't know. Brooke is trying to do good. Everyone did good during the pandemic, which is a very funny storyline.
Lance everybody. Quit fashion design to become a nurse.
Everyone's a nurse now. The real heroes.
Is Lance,
even the bartender,
the service industry, you're yeah. the real heroes.
They are the real heroes.
Is Lance the sweetest character like ever on TV? He yes. like the everything he says, I'm like, he is the perfect partner because he's like, I never judged you for being it. And then Brooke is so mean to him all the time. And Lance is so sweet. And I love that like, even his like moments at the hospital when he's like, you know, and he's like, make sure you do the dab. Like he still loves to dab. Like, he's such an innocent little baby.
Increase morphine and then make sure you dab.
She loves the dab. She loves the dab.
So sweet. Like an amazing arc from him over the past three seasons where I've definitely at first, like, you know, we saw him as kind of like dingus.
A doofus.
Like
a yeah. little
dumb. The himbo. Yeah.
A
yeah.
himbo. And like, but he still is, but it's in such a lovable way. And it is in this like incredibly caring, sweet, empathetic way. And I mean,
he's
yeah.
also such a realist, I feel like. Like, he can spot exactly what Brooke is doing in every
yeah.
moment. In
sometimes,
terms of, like,
yeah,
that, like, she is, like, not happy and then taking it out on, like, their relationship.
I mean, she's not subtle. Like, so
well, that's true.
Let's put that on the table. But, I mean, he really knows her and he loves her. And yeah. the problem, Grace, is that she doesn't love herself. Yeah. That's the problem. So she can't accept that love. But Lance is amazing. I love this like turn for Lance this season, being a nurse and working at the hospital and like really like finding himself and all of that and being like just still so psyched and supportive of Brooke. But yeah, it's not enough for her because she always feels judged in relationship to him because she's worried that what she's doing is not worthwhile.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, yeah.
It's sad because he isn't judging her. And he, it's like, yes, he's a good person, but he never said that she was a bad person. And it's so much of her own insecurities that she's like putting on to him. And it's, oh my gosh, it breaks my heart. And he really sees the good in her. But I was really proud of him throughout this season where he's also not like a pushover. He's not yeah. a doormat. And we saw that in the most recent episode where mm-hmm. That was the episode I honestly liked him the most because he stood up for himself. He put the exact words. I mean, I feel like he was kind of like the voice of the audience, right? With like our frustration for Brooke where like, we love her. She's hilarious. We want her to do well, but God, she's a bad person sometimes.
Yeah.
But not like that doesn't mean that's who you are, but she does bad things or selfish things sometimes. Maybe I shouldn't have said she's a bad person because she's not, but the things she has done have maybe been self-serving, but no one was judging her. And I was just
so
we were a little
bit. I was gonna say the moment of Lance I really love, I think it's in episode one, which is where Brooke invites Helen to her mom's house.
Yeah,
because Helen is like a January 6th participant yeah. and like an anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. And so just like let her talk because like I won't be the worst like nobody will judge me as the worst person.
Yeah.
And when Lance sends her home,
yes.
which like to be fair, I think like some communication to be like, I think we should send her home rather than sending her home, but whatever. Then she says like F you for like, and you need to go home, which I don't think, I think he doesn't go. I think he stays and watches the movie. Is that right? It doesn't
matter. I'm not sure. Yeah. What
maybe
happens
he does.
In the sequence. But then they like have a couple of episodes where she's not talking to him and she drives the armpit and all of that. He like seems to have a really good moral compass and see where she's coming from. And like, he didn't want to just have this person here to be mocked. So that was like, you know, definitely have to respect Lance for all of that. Like, I mean, they really do make like him kind of the perfect guy in this season.
True.
You know, maybe like unrealistically. So, but having it culminate in their like breakup, their seeming breakup at this point, that was really hard. Like a lot of these episodes end in a really like sad place and not this sort of melodrama sad place, but like an actually dark sad place. Like there's the one episode that ends with like Carrie getting home and just kind of like scrolling through like the night nurse hashtag in his like room and like there's no music and it's just like very stark.
Like all of his closest friends have told him, we love it. You were great. Mm-hmm. You were amazing. And then he goes home and searches himself on Twitter to see what people are saying. Like so sad.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it has these kind of, like, very stark, sad moments. Like, in the even the one where Pat is, like, doing laps in her backyard because she can't leave her house. Aww. And it, like, zooms in on her face and it, like, goes from, like, the forced smile to, like, sadness. I feel like the show does these very stark moments of emotion. And then having, you know, episode five end with Brooke and Lance seemingly broken up and Streeter and Pat seemingly broken up. It's just like, wow, this like goofy show, like where they just had two characters have like a prolonged fart after getting home from a road trip, like will also do these very sad moments.
So the way Brooke gets to the breakup is essentially she wants to do good. She does decide she's doing the business thing. They drive the armpit photo across the country. Turns out that was a decoy and she cannot believe that this is what her life is at the moment. So she's quitting and she's going to, this is the, where we get like, she can't be seen because she's out of the business. She's going to try to get a job with AOC. And they say, yeah, like thousands of white women come in here for this exact job.
The job that she wants is like, she just wants to be like a professional sounding board, like a friend who's on the payroll. Like if she's in DC and she's stuck on something, she can run it by me and I'll say if it's good or not.
And I love the lady being like, if it's good or not, she's like, well, it's AOC, it's going to be good. But like,
like thousands of white women apply for this job every day and it's not a thing.
But then she becomes a tree planter and she does plant trees and she does seem happy. But during the AIDS play, she keeps coming out to try and solve this problem that Chase is, but Chase is not having a problem. Everybody else is having a problem that he seemingly loves this ordinary girl.
Normal girl. Yeah. He has a crush on a normal girl.
Brooke is nailing it, nailing the PR for this thing. And so she keeps sneaking out from the seat to, and like, you know, putting her hair gets, comes back to blonde. Yes. She dyed her hair brown. That's how you know she's doing good now. And trying to trick Lance, who is so tired from how much good he is actually doing. He keeps falling asleep in the AIDS play until eventually he finds out that she is sneaking out. And he's quite upset because she should just tell him that she wants, that's what she wants to do. So
and yeah, she's good at it.
She's good at it.
She's putting her self judgment. She's projecting it on Lance and that's not fair to Lance. So Lance just wants to support her to be the best version of herself that she can be. And like, she's not a tree planter. It turns out she doesn't like trees. She hates trees.
So funny. Yeah.
Gabby, all right. what are your takes on the adult armpit?
Oh
my God.
Do you remember the first time you saw Justin Timberlake's armpit? Where were you?
Oh my God. I don't really remember that many adult armpits. But I got it. Like, I mean, I definitely had the teen magazines where it had like the hot picture of whatever hot celeb in the middle.
Yeah.
And like
arm up over when, the
yeah, that is the when pose. They,
when
that
they
is
yeah. the described it. Like, I could picture like Jacob Elordi. It was like, yeah. Yeah. For sure, there's that moment. I mean, I had a crush on Zac Efron, right? From High School Musical. Yeah. No, definitely no armpits. Maybe shooting a basketball. No prolonged
The
armpit.
Jerseys, you know?
Yeah, it's just a coincidental armpit exposure.
Just get a peek. You don't get that full.
You don't. It, yeah. Not posed like that, but then it is like when they become an adult, like we all know that pipeline and you're imagining like the Justin Biebers and the Zac Efrons and you're like, oh, that is such a pipeline. And just it was such a funny sequence of just the one photo on the one flash drive in the huge truck.
So
and,
funny.
Oh,
the
my
fake,
God.
The fake police officers who actually
this
work
is
for.
The armpit joke is like a very good example of this specific thing that Gabby, like you said, I had never thought about it before. But then once they point it out, you're like, yes, there is that like photo shoot when somebody goes from being teen star to like, I am a sex symbol now. And that's like, and to make it about the armpit, so funny. And like to have like Ken Marino be standing in Streeter standing
oh
in
my god day. I know
one of the funny and it's so simple, but when Ken Marino reveals that he has stolen the keys from the guy who stole the keys from Brooke and he goes to like fling them and he keeps like fumbling them and dropping them, it's just he's so funny. I don't understand.
He's literally the funniest human
and that's
in the
like
world.
Nothing that's like be confident with keys, but drop them. And it's so funny.
It's too good.
Yeah, the whole road trip. So I mean, Chase, the whole thing, his mustache when he's like, you know,
oh, his fully, rat, his dirty rat face. He needs to go to one party.
He's fully in.
He needs to go with rat face.
And that also relate, like, that's Bieber went through that thing of like, yeah, that we, you know, the like, you're, yeah, gosh, yeah.
Surely she's a genius. She knows all the beats that you have to hit.
Yeah,
she,
that's, yeah,
exactly what to do.
Oh, the random celebrity woman that I don't know her name, but I knew that, like, oh, I Matt, could the maybe. Daughter- know her
yeah,
name.
Daughter from Mad Men.
Kiernan Shipka.
Yes, it was like
perfect because she's recognizable. She also has a very like celebrity name. It's like, oh, Kiernan Shipka, right? Like it's like a perfect mix of like the perfect person to like fake have Chase be dating.
Oh yeah, and say their name like 20 times in a row.
Kiernan Shipka.
But it was like, even though I didn't really know who she was, I got it. Mm-hmm. And Julie, all time manager.
How does the normal girl like pick up Chase again? Her line is like, would you rather like poop out of your mouth or puke out of your butt?
Yes. And then there's a scene where like he says that she said that, and then they're all like, they all like fall
all
into
really,
the trap of like
really thinking about
they're like
it.
Oh, but like that's silly, but like also what is the answer?
yeah
it's very funny. The Romeo Juliet, that when they see that like she's clearly into, because like she's putting like gummy worms in her like teeth, and like he's just a kid. I mean, he's 18, but like,
yeah,
you know,
but he just wants to be a kid. He's just a kid.
Oh yeah, very funny. Yeah, the whole like back and forth on the PR strategy of like what we're gonna do now that he doesn't want to date Kiernan Shipka. It's very funny. He is singing now. He did sing, and he dropped his album on January 6th.
Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like it's, I love the confidence of a show to go like right, like all in full speed ahead. And like, we're going to just mention the pandemic and the insurrection, like in our very first episode. And when he mentioned, and we over, you know, we glossed over this, Gabby and Grace, but who's interviewing him in this opening scene with Chase about his album? It's Andrea Belkey.
Who also asks him how old he is. And when he says 18, she gets the teeth out. The vampire teeth come out.
The vampire teeth. Oh my God. I know. How funny. Yeah. Of course she is, you know, or at least she was, right, an interviewer, and then she's little Survivor cameo for people. So fun.
We didn't say this before, but when the Curtis is like watching the show, and they do fix the one mistake I think the show had, which we talked about, Amanda, which is that they make a joke that like Survivor is violently straight, and I love when he's like, isn't that show like violently straight, and they're like, have you met any gay person?
Yes.
Yeah. And Curtis is a real one, because Curtis does not only watch Survivor and Drag Race. I love this slide. He's like, me and a few friends are gonna go to order food and talk over the whole goddamn thing.
That is how you watch Drag Race.
Yeah,
like, that's true.
And if you're free this Saturday, we're binging Australian Survivor, and there's a guy on it that has the hugest goddamn nipples you've ever seen. And then Carrie's like, ooh. He's like, no, they work and we love them.
I love that as well. That idea that like there's a thing you don't know really, and he's like, oh no, and he's like, no, but actually we love it, like we love this thing, like this thing, like it's that also I feel like is a very queer thing of like,
yes,
queer people are so like ostracized that like it's like no, like we actually like that thing.
We're
now
into the big,
we're
nipples,
into the huge nipples. That's so funny. Yeah. All right.
We collectively decided.
Let's talk about Pat and Streeter to sort of wrap things up. Pat, again, is very similar to season two. She was very tired because she was working. So now she's not tired, but she's very like isolated and she can't go anywhere. She does try. She does like.
She keeps on escaping.
When she is in the bathroom and she's recovering because she's had so many people, she's booked so many. I think she has a meet with JoJo Siwa now. Mm-hmm. And they just are like, they're throwing names in this scene of like, like Frankie Grande, I think, gets
named. Yes, this is like, this is when she sneaks out to go to the party. Ellen's having a party and everybody wants to go because she's not going to be there, so people can have a good time.
That's so
funny.
There's
these moments of panic where they're like, oh, is it? No, guys, it's not Ellen. It's okay.
So she's then all the name drops that she's like getting asked to meet with, to connect with, and she's recovering. And I love it, like, and tell them what you did. She's like, I drugged my security guard. It's like she's just so desperate to get out. And then the disguises and the prosthetics. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. Man. Poor Pat. Really, maybe the most tragic character on the show.
Yeah.
Well, she just wants to hang out with her family and like, oh, Pat.
The when she's super rich and she has this new house and she's like, isn't the new helicopter driver great? Pilot, I guess, not driver. But yeah. When there's like, what do you guys want for snacks at the movies? And I think Lance is like, Reese's Pieces. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay. She tweets about Reese's Pieces and they immediately deliver. It's so deliver. Funny the way our culture like gives things to rich people. Mm-hmm. For, yes. That, like, is so funny.
Yeah. And that's also where we find out that half of her tweets are accidental texts that she prints and send to people. And that's how she found out that she'll get anything she tweets about when she got a life supply of liquid plumber because she tried to text Reader that the toilet wasn't working. Yeah. No, Pat is tragic. Like in the last season, she was overworked and didn't have any time. But now that she's like a big media mongol, she has like nothing but time, but she's so lonely and isolated in her big house that she can't even go out to brunch with her kids. Like,
you call her, hold on, a media mongol? Did you call like someone from
media mongol?
Like a media, mongol. Someone who's from mongol, the Mongol Empire, who is a media, who is in the media. A media mongol
is hard. Saying words.
I'm so sorry, man.
No,
I'm
glad.
This is exactly my humor. Media is like, don't say words wrong around me because I will jump on that thing. A media mongol is very funny as a premise. Yeah. No, she's so overworked. She can't go anywhere. She's so everybody's all over her. So yeah. Sad.
That's the price of fame. This thing that like they're striving. They're all like propelled towards being famous and being in the industry. And like Pat has achieved it beyond anybody's wildest dreams, right? Like it doesn't get more famous than Pat, and she's like the loneliest that she's ever been.
Yeah, the thing. It's like both Chase and Pat have the thing that mm-hmm. Brooke and Carrie want, and Brooke and Carrie still can't see how unhappy they are.
Yeah,
they still don't see it. And even you see Chase, wanting to have a normal teenage relationship and not being able to have that. And it's like then you have Carrie wanting to date this guy because now he's Tony nominated.
that's right.
They don't see, they're not learning from even just watching their own family. In the same vein, it's very interesting that they never seem jealous, but mm-hmm. they also are not seeming to see the loneliness of it, which is so, it is tragic.
It really, really is. Like, yeah, because I mean, we talked about, with Chase and like all of his like childhood that he's missed out on. And they don't even like they do have, I guess there's a way that like Chase and Pat are closer to Brooke and Carrie than they probably were when they lived in Ohio. And like there's something about like being all in New York and being mm-hmm. part of this world that was like an attraction for them being a family. But like in this, we see it come to a head in this season so far where Pat is like so famous, like she can't even go for a walk in the park without her security detail. And I was like, okay, well, we got the mayor's office, but now we just have to have JFK clear the airspace.
When they ask, like, Pat, do you want to go on the bridge? And she's like, I would love that. And they're like, oh, it's like, no, we don't have to do the bridge. Like, okay, she's okay with not going on the bridge. It's great. No bridge. So then Streeter, there's mm-hmm. a scene where she's in prosthetics, she's at the bar and she's having a drink, and Streeter comes in to also have a drink, and he's kind of, I kind of like this as well, that he loves Pat so much mm-hmm. that he feels so bad that like like she can't do all of these things, but also he acknowledges that like he also wants those things, and he is not like, you know, he took this like weekend away or whatever to go be able to do things that he's not able to do with Pat. And so they decide to break up. Although the idea that like he plays like their dad of like, you always have a room at my house is so perfectly cringeworthy. Yes. Of him being like, and then the room actually being like weirdly like sweet to Brooke.
Yeah. But that was Carrie's room. Oh, I see you went into Carrie's room. Like, Streeter and Pat, like, are Streeter and Pat a good couple? Would we say, like, is there something there? Are they like a love match?
I don't think so. Yeah. Personally.
Yeah. It's just hard to say no to Streeter, I think.
They both seem to, like, really love the three kids. Like, for some reason, like, it's clear that Streeter, Streeter will say at some point when Chase is like jealous that Streeter's paying more attention to the Barbacoa family.
Yes.
Then, you know, Streeter says to him, like, you are so financially valuable to me. And, you know, he's obviously like kind of like a slimy operator type of guy, but he also seems to love Carrie and Brooke, like, for no good reason. Like, he's looking for their approval. So maybe he does love Pat. Like, I'm not seeing the sparks fly between Streeter and Pat. But this did feel like very sweet when, like, Brooke breaks up with, it's funny, I was watching with my husband, and when Brooke and Lance break up, I'm like, she's going to go to Streeter's house. Like, I was like, I know where this is going.
Yeah, it's very cute. That's very nice. It was so cute.
Very, very cute. Yeah. And then when he mistakenly is like, are you sad that me and your mom broke up?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like, yeah. They're in their
literally 30s. Has yeah. not affected me at all. It's so good.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's in a bit of an interesting, so everyone's like either in a relationship they don't actually probably should be in, or they've just broken up with their partner, except for Chase seems to be like he's in a happy relationship, right? He seems to like this girl, so yeah, it's very interesting midpoint of the season. I know that we're releasing this probably on the morning that like episode 6 comes out, and weirdly I told Amanda this, I don't know if you know this, Gabby, in Canada we're just getting all the episodes a week early. I think a release schedule got mixed up. Nobody tell Canada that we're not supposed to be getting the episodes a week early. Because initially it was going to be like 3 episodes dropped and then like 2, 2, 2, 1, like some weird schedule. And so I think Canada's just all messed up. But I think it's a very interesting midpoint. It's like everybody's like,
maybe everybody in Canada got screeners.
Maybe. That's right. That's right. Weekly, an early weekly screener. Yeah. So maybe I'll get episode. I have episode 6. I did not watch episode 6, so I would not come in.
I
could be, you know, truthful on this podcast.
Yeah. So truthful.
Do we think this is the end of Lance and Brooke?
I think it should be for right now until Brooke figures out her stuff. Mm-hmm. She really needs to get some self-love, and she I do think at the moment Lance deserves better than her, but I also think he loves her, and I do hope they work it out.
Okay, if this happens in a future episode, I promise I'd watch ahead, but I hope Brooke needs to go and watch Drag Race with Curtis and learn how can you love somebody else before you love yourself.
That's how she learns. That's how
she'll learn.
Wait, that's adorable, Grace.
That would be fun, right? Like, to have Brooke and Curtis hang out. Like, Brooke is back in the industry now.
I believe going to be managing again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she needs to realize that she can quote unquote do good from within the industry. Don't make fun of me, Grace. I said a word wrong.
You didn't sound like anything else.
And you know what? She's good at it. She doesn't need to force things that don't work. I mean, it's. She's doing a good job.
Yeah, and I think that Chase needs her too. Yeah. If somebody needs her, I think Chase needs her to sort of like protect him.
Yes.
There's that one time when she's out of the industry and Shuli calls and like Chase has a coke problem and then he won't do coke.
He won't do coke. I think that's Streeter saying he won't do coke.
Oh, it's Streeter, yeah.
It's very funny. Yeah. No, I love this, the storyline of like Brooke trying to figure out if she can do good. Cause I feel like that's a very relatable thing in terms of, the world sort of like being as awful as is. And I work for a nonprofit and I sometimes can feel like, I'm doing good, but also like, should I not watch that, you know, that movie that has an awful person in it? Because like, that's bad. You know, I feel that way all the time of like, am I doing enough good to like, you know, in the world? And so I love that, like, I love actually the existential crisis, and it fits very fittingly that like Lance, who has sort of figured it out, is like, we need to not be together until you figure it out. So I mean Lance is so perfect, so I'm like, yeah, but also like I could see a very much a storyline where he's with somebody else that then like that makes Brooke upset. She also has to like figure that out too, of like letting someone go. who's like you love, but like, I know, right?
On a personal level. Wait, what? I forgot we were on a podcast. Well, I just had a really
What if it's you? What if the episode is that Lance and Gabby get together?
Yeah, when I said I hadn't been on a movie set earlier.
Lance is in not Lance the character, but
Josh Segarra.
Yeah, he's in the recent Scream movie, and he's supposed to play a guy who's supposed to all movie think that he might be the killer, and I'm like, not possible. That guy's a dab. He dabs. So he can't be the killer.
He's a sweetheart. He dabs. So very like very eventful first half of the season. I think that there's a lot of interesting things that can happen. Do we think that Streeter and Pat get back together?
I don't. They had a thing at the end of season two where it was like, I need space, and then he joined the vacation, and I feel like that wasn't really giving space. I feel like I feel like they're done. I think.
I really like the dynamic between Streeter and Brooke when they're working together, and I feel like if the show can keep Streeter in the mix, like in that capacity, I feel like that's really really fun. Maybe we've seen like the Pat and Streeter romantic relationship run its course.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. All right. I think that's, you know, part one of our the other two coverage. Episodes 1 through 5. Very fun. Very fun.
So great season.
Yeah. Gabby, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I'm glad I tweeted about it because apparently it's not just us and our 15 closest friends watching it. Like there are dozens of groups of 15 groups of friends.
It is
we
a good
are
trick.
Legion, yeah.
It is a good trick, Amanda and I have to where if you want to figure out who's watching a show, you type in the show that you're watching in the search bar, and then you filter by people you follow, and then you find. So, but I didn't see your tweet. But
wow, I should
tweet maybe I don't follow.
I watch a lot of shows that I don't. Yeah, wow. No. I watch a lot of shows that I don't tweet about.
You could be getting so many podcast invitations.
That's the life. Not all shows I want to reveal that I'm watching.
That is, I feel that a lot.
You even watch The Circle.
I even watched The Circle. Yeah, I mean, I felt every time I was about to tweet about the other two because I almost sent out a tweet about the armpit episode too, and I felt like I had nothing new to say or nothing all I could think of was like, this show is perfect. It is so funny. I laugh so hard. And it just everything we've already talked about in this podcast. Like, I just was like, what am I going to say? Like, every gay person out there right now, like, loves this show. Like, that's all I would be adding to the conversation.
You had very good thoughts. It's a very good show. It's more than just jokes. Yeah. What else you got going on, and where can people find you, Gabby? Up to anything?
Oh, I don't really have anything, but I'm on said Twitter that we were talking about at Gabby Pascuzzi, and I'm on Instagram at Gabscuzzi, but Twitter's where, you know, we talk about TV, and I'll tweet more about the shows that I enjoy, not to get on podcasts, but just to share.
Join the conversation.
Join the Discord.
The discourse is always, always great, as I've personally learned by stepping into the boiling oil there. But hey, there's so much fun TV discourse. I enjoy it. And to follow me on Twitter too. I am at Dr. Amanda R. That's Dr. Amanda R. I'm also podcasting about Silo right now with Mike Bloom. It's an Apple TV dystopian mystery box thriller show. So we're having fun with that. And hey, Grace, we just talked about the finale of Succession.
Oh, I know. The finale, the series Succession finale.
And the other two are kind of similar. Like, about the children of a media mogul. And they're all like vying for there are
kind of not great people who you then empathize with. There's some it tracks, I think. Okay, I'm chatting about chat about the finale of Succession. We'll be doing more. We're gonna do the battle royale. We're gonna pit the Roys against each other. We're doing some episode rankings. We wrapped up our coverage of Yellow Jackets this week. Ariel and I are chatting about movies. We're chatting about Across the Spider-Verse this week, so that should be fun. And I'm also talking about doing a dark rewatch with Ariel, Philly, and myself, which has been a lot of fun as well. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace. We'll be back in a few weeks to chat more the other two, and then until then. Bye-bye. Ah.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.